This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Pagan, Afake Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Avengers Infinity War is finally in theatres, and it stars everyone.
And you're struggling to try and explain this like a normal movie review.
No. Wait. I think we can tell people what it's about. The Mad Titan Thanos, played by Josh Brolin, wants to collect all the Infinity Stones.
Okay, and which is so far?
And all the superheroes need to stop him.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
That's pretty much all we can tell you about this movie.
I mean, that's pretty much all you need to know getting into this movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. We should know this by now.
We can also tell you that it's incredibly good.
It was a ride.
It was a real ride.
We're all just like looking at each other now, just being spent.
Can I just say this, though? I mean, the Russo brothers seem to be the perfect successors to what Whedon set out in the first Avengers movie.
Not too bad, are they?
Yeah. I don't think they're successes. I think they've gone above and beyond what he's done completely.
Oh, totally. They've gone above and beyond. But what I mean is they've carried that mantle and they've achieved something truly tremendous, because all three movies they've done have kind of outdone the other.
Yeah. Mm. They've done better than Joss Whedon did. Way better.
Yeah.
With way more complicated moving parts.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, my biggest concern walking into this film was, how do you balance the 20, 30, 40 people who are all almost A-list Hollywood at the moment? How do you balance their screen time? How do you balance their story? How do you give them enough to do in a film that at most you can stretch to about 2 hours and 30 minutes, right?
Yeah. Mm. And the way you do that is you hit the ground running, you assume everyone knows exactly or has a good idea what's going on. You know, there's the guy with the hammer is kind of funny now. You know who the big green guy is. But there's no, you know, it doesn't open on a quiet prairie with some people, you know, taking in the crops and then, you know, invaders happen.
Yeah.
This throws you straight into the action. And from that point onwards, you're just jumping between all these characters that, according to the box office, people really like.
I mean, that's sort of the upside to what they're trying to do, right? We don't have to see, we don't need 3 minutes of everybody, but to tell us where they are. We don't need to know that Thor is still here or Hulk is still there and Cap's here and Iron Man's there. We don't need it. Just jump into it. The sequence you see in the trailer of the aliens attacking New York, was it in the first act? It's like five minutes in. You're good to go. Just
That first act is also kind of almost the third act of a mini
of
act.
Any other movie.
No, but of its own act as well. The movie already starts somewhere else entirely has a few bits and pieces that are going on with that before it introduces, here's two characters that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
They do that every time you think that it's going to get boring. It never gets boring. you think it's going to get like predictable or that. They start throwing together two characters who you realize, oh wait, these guys have never met.
Yeah.
And they hate each other.
Yeah.
And it's really entertaining.
It's really fun. Yeah, yeah. And you keep forgetting, because we've been following these guys over 19 films, or over 10 years, whatever it is, you forget that a lot of these guys have never met.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they introduce themselves, you go, that's right, these guys don't know each other.
The Guardians don't know anything
about whatever's
Earth
happening
except
on
1980s.
Earth. Yeah, and in there was a, you know, there's a couple of really great lines there, right?
Yeah.
Like, just when they first find out, trying to figure out where everybody comes from and who they're on the same, I don't know, I'm just like,
I don't want to give anything away.
There's a mention of someone being great and they're like, oh, what, like Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Like, who's never that great? You watch him.
Yeah.
You know? No, the movie does well. I mean, this is a dark movie. There's no running away from that. You could tell even from the music they used in the trailer, you knew what you were getting yourself into. But the movie manages to use a great amount of levity to cut through the tension. And in that sense, I think the script was amazing, because there was emotional resonance, there were lots of laughs, there was drama, there was action, and you felt for these characters. You didn't just feel for the characters you've known and loved all these years, you felt as much for characters you discovered in Black Panther that just came out 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And you felt as much for Thanos, who you just met, you know, 15 minutes ago,
and
right?
And that's an interesting, I mean, that's an interesting note, right? There's this whole running thread about Marvel not knowing how to do villains aside from Loki. Yeah. And Thanos is in this a lot.
He is a character. He's not unstoppable force or a cloud of energy or something who just like sends his henchmen out and sits in a giant floating chair, which to be honest, he has done for the last 10 years.
No, but the other thing as well, towards the end of the film, I realized something. Like, it's not Iron Man's story. It's not Captain America's story. It's actually Thanos' story.
Yeah.
This is a Thanos movie, right? Which is really interesting.
No,
it's a great way to tell a story.
It's a brave choice.
Yeah. But to come back to what you were saying about how you balance all these characters, it's similar to when we were talking about the road to the Avengers and how they got all these characters together and everything. They're right. This is written like a comic book.
Mm.
It's not the same story as the Infinity Gauntlet comic, but it is the same feeling in that you turn the page and there's the Guardians talking to Thor.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I know exactly where I am. And you turn the page again and you're back in New York and you turn the page again and Thanos is explaining something. That is how the comics have always balanced it out.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly how you structure a comic as well. Because writing a comic is not an easy thing, right? Mm. Because you never want your climax or some major reveal to be on a facing page. You want people to turn the page to get to it.
To get the double page spread.
And that's what this movie felt like. Because there were times when you would fade to black, and when it would come back to life, it was a double page spread. It was something new, it was something exciting, it was something thrilling.
And it wasn't always visual.
No.
There's a moment in this where you hear a fat, funky bass line, and you know exactly
where
who's
going to
turn up and where you are. And then it has a title card. Okay, I've given out a lot about 2018, year of the title card.
No, come on.
One of the best title cards of all time just pops up, and it's great. The Russos have moved away from their heavy, big Helvetica, I think it was, from Civil War. Now they're using like 2001 font, which at times is great. And like when they get to the end of the movie and they show you the name of the movie again, the font, it's not the usual kind of A with the arrow kind of
Avengers.
It wasn't
like super designed font.
No, it's like Times New Roman or something. Yeah. And it just looks like, it makes it look like an art movie.
No, but I loved it. Like, that was great.
Yeah, well, even the end credit sequence, I think this was the first Marvel movie with an end credit sequence that was just plain.
Yeah.
All of them usually have that kind of spinning camera
fanciness,
and really cool fanciness and artwork. And
I think after Winter Soldier, they started doing the animated sections that kind of led into the first post-credit teaser, and then we'll go to the flat credits. But this is very much part one of part two story, and as a result, they just kind of make you wait. And we should say there is one post-credit sequence, and it's at the very, very,
very end.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, the way they closed off the film after the movies ended, they played the credits. It was really, I felt it was necessary.
Yeah.
You know, because I was sitting next to Uma, I was sitting next to you on the other side. It was just,
it's a mood.
You know, it's a mood, but the way the film ends, you need a couple of minutes to just sort of recover and pull yourself. Because
your legs have gone to sleep because it's been 2.5 hours.
My legs were fine, but I just really needed a beat to just sort of
digest.
Not only just like, catch my breath and just sort of calm the hell down.
Because the movie has moments where they've a good idea, there's a laugh coming, but for the purposes of the scene, the actors don't wait for it because that wouldn't be in storytelling urgency.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a quiet moment of Peter Parker's face, they hold on that.
Yeah.
Yes. They give you, like, this never feels rushed with anything that's going on.
And that was a great emotional beat
and
as well.
And it also makes time for these quiet moments.
Mm.
Not just with Peter Parker, but there's a moment with Pepper Potts and Tony Stark. But it would be completely out of place in this kind of film. And yet, they left it in because it's necessary, right?
And because we need this, where I think I said this on reviewing Ultron at the time, where you're checking in with characters you like. This feels like the latest installment of a TV show, the biggest budgeted TV show in the world ever.
Ever.
But it still feels like these are characters, these are the characters they're playing. I mean, this is why these actors are so well chosen. They are the people. He is that angry lightning guy. You know, you don't think it's like, oh, Thor wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
You never feel that.
10 years on, it still feels like these actors are totally into it as well. And that's quite nice. I think they seem to have formed this kind of familial bond among them, and it really translates across the screen to you because it's believable.
For me, it was also really interesting to see that the characters are still the characters. I think you mentioned it earlier, right? Peter Quill is still Peter Quill. Captain America is still Captain America. They're not they haven't been dumbed down for this movie. You know what I mean?
Like,
they
also don't because feel like tonally, out of the way. The movies are quite different. I mean, Guardians tonally is quite different from, say, Civil War or Winter Soldier. But yet the characters maintain their same...
their own personal tone, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And their personalities, right? And they make it work.
It's what
and
happens
they make
if
it
these
fit.
Funny guys hit this really dark thing, or what happens if these dark guys hit this thing that's bigger than they've ever dealt with before. Yeah. That's the way to... I mean, one of the beginning of this movie very, very quickly establishes the stakes... and the threat. You're, if you're thinking in your head, oh, well, why don't they just do A? A is very quickly answered in the first 5 minutes of the show, why they can't do
and so
that.
Because it won't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, what kind of threat are we on? Well, he just trashed all these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay.
It's that thing. It's like, this is serious. This is not just threatening extra number 73.
Exactly.
This is serious stuff.
There are actual stakes in this movie. And with a lot of superhero films, actually with the last 18 superhero movies that Marvel has put out, sure, there are stakes. But at the end of the day, you know Tony Stark is going to be standing over everyone going, hey, 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 I'm Tony Stark, right?
Yeah, we've done
it. You know T'Challa is going to come out top, right? Mm. But not in this movie. This movie, everything's up for grabs.
Yeah.
Contracts are up for renewal. I will say, we can talk a little, I think we should talk a little bit around the ending. I'm slightly concerned about how people react to this. I think it's going to be Marmite.
You think because it might appeal to the fans, but the general public might have an issue with it.
Yeah, they might be like...
underwhelmed.
Start raving mad. Like, not underwhelmed, but it's like, is that it? I think there might be riots.
Really?
If you've only watched the movies and the movie ends like that and there's no hint that, like, if you don't know there's another one coming next year that's a follow up.
How do you not know there's another one? We know! Like,
you live in a cave. You only come out for the movies. I don't know. People don't. We follow this. Not everyone's on Twitter.
No. I know not everyone's on Twitter, but I think there is this notion that there is always going to be another Marvel movie after this.
True. Although, if you wait a couple of minutes, there's a big title card that says Thanos will return.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's and it's nice that they said that they don't. We knew going in they weren't going to tell us the name of the next one.
Yeah.
But I just feel it's going to rub some people up the wrong way.
So the reason I really liked that ending as well was
I like it. I think it's great.
But also,
there's a thing that happens and I'm like, I remember that.
But also, it comes full circle, right? Mm. And it's all self-contained within this film. And that's what I like a lot about it. Sure, there are some references to previous Marvel movies, but for the most part, you could go into this movie blind and enjoy this movie. You'll have a lot of questions, but you'll enjoy this movie for what it is, right? Because it tells a complete story.
I don't know if you'd have that many questions. Yeah. Because in a lot of ways, sure, there are a couple little things you may just...
You might be like, oh, Infinity Stones.
Who's the cat guy?
But even then, they explained it pretty well in the movie. Like, Strange just goes and explains the stones. I mean, sure, you may not know where T'Challa comes from. You may not know
what the Sanctorum is.
Yeah, you know, all that. But at the end of the day, the story works. The characters don't have any... well, too much baggage from previous films. Like Thor, maybe there's
I'm not saying I dislike the movie or anything. I just think that we're using a lot of mental polyfiller to fill in the gaps that we don't.
Oh, no, we are.
We are. And we will automatically do that.
Yeah. Because it's in our brains, right? Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I know the test.
Yeah.
Take my mom.
Yeah, so...
See, oh, no, but she's seen all the
movies.
But
she's seen everything,
Oh,
right?
That's a bad test. Yeah, that's not know exactly what's going on.
Your mom probably might be schooling you.
I'll take my dad. My dad hasn't seen any of the movies.
You sure?
Maybe I'll take him and see whether he can work out what's going on if he's not had a long day and falls asleep in the cinema. But but you're right. I don't know if the movie will be Marmite. I think the movie is such a well-structured piece of cinema.
Oh, there's great moments. Right? All the way through.
Yeah. I mean, there are moments where I was punching my fist in the air. There were such great moments. But I think it's such a well-structured piece of cinema in that it's so technically proficient as well as filmmaking.
Yeah. Thanos himself, like, it's a giant purple dude and he interacts with the world around him, and you can see those who think Thanos is bald. Thanos is not bald. He just shaves it down to the skull.
Yes.
He might have long flowing locks, but you can see the stubble on the computer guy's head. You know what I mean?
There's a couple of moments, and there was one moment really bugs me, but I'm not going to say on radio here, but like, we'll talk about it later, but... And it just sort of...
Was it his really big thumb?
No, that was...
At one point, he has what seems like a really big thumb, but later on, his hands look a bit more normal size.
No, there's a banner situation, which I'm like, not great about. But no, you're right. I think in a lot of ways, this is... It's It's amazing. it's amazing.
Their marketing teams are really cunning as well. There is so much in the trailers that actually isn't in the film.
Or leads you to think something's going one way, whereas it's not going that way at all.
And given that some of the characters you see in some of those scenes aren't actually in those scenes at all, you're like, that was purposely CG'd in to dupe you.
Yeah, I mean,
or to create a moment in a trailer.
They did that before with.
Are we one of the Star Wars movies?
No, but they did it with Thor. With the Avengers
with trailer. With the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Two eyes, whereas they didn't have that at the end of Ragnarok.
I will say there was one point in the film which I liked, which we the three of us liked, but I'm the only reason I'm bringing it up is because the entire cinema just sort of clapped. Which I thought was great.
Someone coming out of the shadows?
Yeah, which I thought was great. Like, no,
There was points where I was like, okay, I wouldn't have seen this coming at this point in the movie now, but based upon the trailer, I know exactly what's coming now, and I'm still pretty happy it's coming.
but that's the other thing, right? I mean, the movie is so incredibly well-paced. It is not the kind of movie that tries to cram all of its A-list stars within the first 5 or 10 minutes of the film.
Yeah, it takes
you
time.
You wait a long time before seeing some of these characters that you've known and loved for so many years,
and
but
you
also
are expecting.
Are the main characters, right? I mean, it's not like Robert Downey Jr. is in every scene. There are long swaths of space without Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. And you know what? You don't care.
Yeah, but also, when they do have him on screen, they make sure he takes his helmet off a good bit so you see, oh, it's him. We've not just done the CGI one and stuck him in the recording studio with the blackout lights.
Yeah.
We're actually using him. We're actually putting him beside Benedict Cumberbatch and these guys, and it's great.
I'm going to have to watch this again.
I'll have to.
No. Actually, let me take that back. I'm going to watch this again because we've already got tickets for several screenings. So, yeah.
Also, try to watch it in IMAX. We've said this before. Quite spectacular.
Well, I mean,
depends. Some of the closer fights.
You're not sure about 3D?
I'm not sure about 3D. I'm not a big fan of 3D.
We didn't have it in 3D.
We didn't have it in 3D.
I think some of the fights near the end get a bit close up and personal, and some of those were a little blurry to meet the eye on IMAX.
But that being said, it was amazing how you knew where everyone was at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the camera would cut away.
Yeah, yeah. And
to,
you
like,
know exactly
Thor
where you are. Yeah.
Or Tony or Cap. You know exactly what was going on, how much time had passed.
Yeah.
All of that was just so well structured.
The writing
Michael
is
Bay
amazing.
Should be held down and forced to watch this movie over and over again until he makes a better Transformers movie.
All right, go watch Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then you can tweet us. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi White.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.